Hey, good morning to you all. I want to thank you for your participation in this space. We're really presenting the financial results for the third quarter 2021. In this space, we have Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos, Alejandro Piedraíta, Vice President of Strategy and Corporate Finances of Grupo Argos, Rafael Oliveira, Vice President of Finance and Corporate Matters of Grupo Argos, Mauricio Rosa, President of Odisa, Maria Clarice Zaval, Manager of the Urban Development Business, Pablo Rosado, Vice President of Corporate Finances of Odisa, Luina Hurtado, George Manager of Bactia. This conference is being translated into English simultaneously. In addition, we want to remind you that in the website we have made available all the quarter information together with the presentation that we'll be following during the teleconference. To download it, you could access the menu of the financial information and afterwards the report section. I'm going to invite you now to move on to slide number 3, presentation to start the meeting. And I'm going to give the word to Jorge Mario Velasquez, President of Grupo Argos. Thank you, Natalia. And thank you all that are with us today, you investors and analysts, for being with us this day. Good morning to you all. I want to send you a special thank you for being with us in this conference. I want to make just a very short reference in terms of the picture that we saw at the beginning of the slide, which corresponds to the real estate and hotel investment in Casa Blanca. Baru, this is one of the real estate businesses that we have been working with investments close to $100 million. It has hotels, residences, and apartments in a land lot that has 60 hectares, a part of the assets of the real estate business that the group has, and that will be opened in short in order to start functioning one of the most beautiful hotel facilities of the country. We will also have the possibility of speaking a bit more about this aspect when we approach the real estate business developments. During this quarter, we recorded a very positive performance in all our businesses, and we actually reached strategic advancements that continue consolidating Grupo Argos as the infrastructure asset manager that's highly relevant within the region. The most important of these milestones we shared in September with the signature of an alliance between our concession business Odinza and Macquarie Asset Management, which is one of the largest infrastructure administrators around the world, in order to jointly create an investment platform that would administrate road assets that Odinza has in Colombia, in which we include concession Pacifico 2 that has recently been delivered and completely finished. Also, the Aburra Oriente Tunnel that connects Valle San Nicolás and Aburra Valley, Cafi Highways, and the Meta Road. Several projects that will be developed in the future. The value of this platform reaches 4.3 trillion Colombian pesos. That will consolidate it as one of the most important, not just in Colombia, but within the region. This new vehicle will keep exploring growth opportunities and value creation opportunities through project developments that will demand jointly resources close to 4.5 trillion Colombian pesos in the mid and long term. For the creation of this vehicle, we are constituting a private capital fund that will count with Odinza as its professional manager, in which economic rights will be owned by Odinza in a 50%, and Macquarie will own another 50%. And this last one, besides capital, I also want to highlight that we'll contribute with a broad global experience in the road sector in order to keep on strengthening our operational capacities. Besides this, the asset management scheme and capital private funds, Grupo Argos is connecting the abundance of global liquidity with the needs of building regional infrastructure, while it receives simultaneously a remuneration for its role as manager in and a success commission due to the asset performance. Without no doubt, this alliance with Macquarie sets a milestone in the strategic materialization of Grupo Argos that will leverage the possibility of growth and the profitability of our shareholders, and that consolidates the experience that we have been developing through the years in the creation of this platform. An example that we have followed in Parque in a real estate business, and besides in the ones that have been created, the energy businesses by Celsia for the solar and distribution, energy distribution businesses that joined with the Cubico Sustainable Investment, we've been developing platforms that have proven not just the profitability, but also their capacity of accelerating development and opportunity captures. We will be discussing a bit more when we speak about the energy business. Moving on to the accumulated financial results for the third quarter of this year, and I want to highlight the strength of the operational leverage the organization has, that has been driven and strengthened by the achieved efficiencies that were achieved as part of our shock plan that we structured to develop in order to face the economic situation that we had in 2020. And many of these initiatives, optimizations, synergy and efficiency values have got here to stay. In September 2021, or up to September 2021, when we adjust the non-recurrent effects in both periods, consolidated revenues grew 40% year after year, while the EBITDA grew 26%, and net profit increased 410%. This multiplying effect of profitability is a materialization of the collective efforts, broad and collective effort that the organization has driven in order to consolidate an expense and cost structure more efficient and a lighter capital structure that Lutwitz management allowed a very important reduction, as we will see in the financial costs. Now let me move on and make a brief description of the main milestones that we have achieved in this quarter and the different businesses of the group. Now I'm going to invite you to move on to slide that speaks about the cement business development and construction materials. The cement sales volumes presented a favorable dynamic during the quarter with an increase of 12% pro forma. And I'll be explaining why this follows the good economic performance that we are seeing in a cross-cutting manner in the three regions that Cementos Argos operates, United States, Colombia, and Central America. And through the implementation of a series of strategies that have not just been allowing a better participation, but at the same time an added value and generation to the active participation in different segments and products that have a larger margin added to the efforts in terms of R&D that have been made in the company. And on this line, we want to highlight the offer of products, much higher value products, such as specialized cements, color cements, the strengthening of distribution capacities and reaching the final customer in the retail sector in Colombia that supported a growth of 24% in the year-after-year EBITDA. In addition, in terms of infrastructure in Colombia, we began the execution of the Los Patios contract for Bogota Metro. This contract for the next 14 months will allow a demand of 100,000 cubic meters of material. And this is a milestone that allows us to look towards the future with optimism, and not just concrete, but also for cement and specialized services for this important work. In quantitative terms, that good and dynamic in terms of results and in terms of value of volumes was translated into a 5% increase in the quarter's revenues, with a growth of 30% for Colombia. The company reached 473 billion Colombian pesos in this period, and this is 2.4 higher same period last year. And once we exclude the contribution of the concrete operations that we had in Dallas and that were disinvested in our previous quarter, and that's what I mean when I speak about pro form, the EBITDA stability has been achieved thanks to the dilution of fixed costs for a bit larger sales volumes that besides have compensated, properly compensated the effects of global inflation that has been happening around raw materials and freights, and that is affecting this and many other industries. But nevertheless, I would say that the competitive position that Cementos Argos has is broadly favorable in order to face this inflation pressure due to the installed capacity to produce clinker and cement in each one of the regions, the efficiency of its logistics network supported in a broad port network, maritime fleet, which are also strategic assets such as distribution centers that make the operation and reaching the final customer is not just of a broad coverage, but of a very high efficiency. Now I want to invite you to go over results of the energy business. And last week, Celsia was awarded a contract of 225 gigawatts hour year will be generated by a plant that's known as Celsia Solar. Escobar says this is a plant, a solar plant that has a capacity close to 100 megawatts that will be built in the outskirts of the city of Ibagué, and it will start operations in December 2024. This is the result of Celsius participation in the second energy auction made by the Colombian government that happened in 2019, where besides we were also awarded to this large capacity that we have previously mentioned. The result, the federal result for the company in terms of this renewable energy auction reassures not just the commitment that the organization has with energy transition that the country has been following in order to position itself as a leader in initiatives in order to reduce the climate change effects in the energy sector, but besides that, it positions Celsia as a key stakeholder in the energy, in the non-renewable energy matrix in Colombia. Let's remember that besides the household energy and business energy that the company has been developing in the last 5 years, and the more than 100 megawatts of plants, so our energy plants that are working now, 160 megawatts, through the whole country and some even in Central America, also occupy projects for more than 330 megawatts of wind energy in Guajira. So meaning by this that Celsia consolidates as one of the most important asset managers in terms of non-conventional renewable energy in the country. This plant, as we previously mentioned, is a part of the strategy of reaching 650 megawatts in terms of solar generation in a vehicle, investment vehicle with Cubico Sustainable Investments that today has its first megawatts, close to 50 in operating this vehicle, but will allow to accelerate development in upcoming years. I also want to highlight the positive advancements of the thermal electrical project El Tesorito. It's a gas thermal electrical project that will make available close to 200 megawatts in the national interconnected system. This is going to be highly efficient, and that was awarded due to our capacity in a previous auction. This project, besides, has the particularity of being located in Boca de Pozo. It's very close to where the energy resource is and directly interconnected into the national interconnection system, which gives a great flexibility, not just as a support asset, but also eventually as a participation asset in the dispatching matrix. Due to the difficulties that we have in water energy generation in the country. From an operational front, during this quarter, we recorded in Celsius a 4% growth year after year in generation, and 11% growth in terms of energy commercialization. These results validate the capacity and strength and resilience that Sensia has and the power of its portfolio, which is balanced between different types of generations. It's also important to highlight that the average price on the energy stock exchange for the country during the quarter reached a bit less than 100 Colombian pesos, net 98 Colombian pesos kilowatt hour, which represents a reduction of 37% compared to the same period previous year. This reflects larger water contributions into the system. Having said that, they have exceeded historic values in terms of contributions and make water energy to be more than 80% of the energy that's being used by the national electric system. The good operational performance and the contracting strategy that has been developed in Celsia, as well as the balance and development of transmission, distribution, and commercialization that goes hand by hand with generation, compensated broadly this drop in the stock exchange price and allowed the company to close the third quarter with revenues of 978 billion Colombian pesos, which grew 19% if you compare this with the same period last year. From its side, the quarter's EBITDA closed in 316 billion Colombian pesos. This is also a 23% growth, even when we eliminate the non-recurrent effect of a contribution that we had recorded in 2020, okay, from a regulatory recognition of the Domiciliary Public Service Superintendency. So Celsia's EBITDA is kept with an increase, with a two-digit increase. I want to invite you to go over slides of the concession, of the road concession business and the airport concession business. As we mentioned at the beginning of the conference, September, we signed a contract with Macquarie to the creation of a regional road platform that will help us drive not just profitability, but also accelerate growth in this business segment. This transaction implies a partial monetization of the investment in this business with a gross TRR close to 33%. And I will be emphasizing in this figure, meaning by this, the value generated for the shareholders, the gross value exceeds 33%, accounting for the flows since the moment of the investment in the different assets up to the value that is materialized in the partial disinvestment. The resources that come from this transaction, we hope that will be closed in the first quarter 2022, will be used mainly for reducing Odin's indebtedness that will guarantee, at the same time, a larger flexibility and less financial cost in order to keep on growing in this business. In addition, in this period, we closed the refinancing of Oriente Tunnel with an emission of close to 700 billion Colombian pesos in the Colombian capital market that was over demanded 1.66 times, and which gave access to a much more competitive interest rate and turned it, I would say, in the first road concession in issuing in the local capital market, enabling a very interesting financing mechanism for assets, current assets, and future assets. The strength of this asset was recognized by Standard & Poor's, which granted a AA+ rating. From its side, as it was mentioned before, the Pacífico 2 work, one of the first works of the 4G generation, known as the fourth generation of road concessions in Colombia, was delivered and inaugurated in the month of October, becoming the third, fourth generation project that starts working in the country. The first one in Antioquia, and the first one that has been fully constructed, financed, and structured, and then took to operation by Odensa. Since Odensa has been part of Argos Business Group. This project implied the construction rehabilitation of more than 90 kilometers of roads in the southeast of Antioquia. This is an investment that exceeds 1.3 trillion Colombian pesos and was delivered within the budget and with the best building standards. This work proves that projects in Colombia can be managed and carried out following budgets, keeping times, and keeping the highest excellency and quality standards, but besides that, with a very broad and large respect for the territory identity, for the environment, and contributing value to those communities where these types of assets are developed. This work that's part of a road system, Pacifico 1, 2, and 3, which is under construction and development, and that represents in total investments for more than 6 trillion Colombian pesos, will connect Medellin and Viejo Caldas, but besides Antioquia with the Pacific and the Atlantic with the Pacific, in a much more efficient manner. In the financial front, during the quarter, Odensa kept a growing trend in terms of revenues and EBITDA, such as it's been recorded last year, in a very accelerated manner, and that's clearly seen. It's clearly been driven by the vehicle traffic increase as well as airport passengers. It's gratifying to see this dynamic that's happening, how the traffics are growing. Revenues closed in 280 billion Colombian pesos, and the EBITDA closed in 209 billion Colombian pesos. This is an increase of 49% and 77% respectively. When we compare the results of this quarter with the same period 2019, pre-pandemic period, in order to eliminate the base effect that we had in 2020, we also see that when we make this calculation, growth keeps being very important and totalizing 53% and 50 in terms of revenue and 52% in terms of EBITDA. So this confirms not just the operational efforts and the efficiency efforts being driven by the business, but also the important contribution of traffic growth and the value of an asset such as Tunnel de Oriente, that I'll also be speaking of further on. Currently, all the roads that Odensa operate are operating normal conditions with a traffic that exceeds what we had before. In this quarter, they totalized 128 vehicles daily on average. We also want to highlight, as I mentioned before, the Oriente Tunnel that attends traffic between Medellin and San Nicolas Valley, that evidenced a growth of 174% compared with the same period 2020 and 25% more compared with the same period 2019. We also need to consider that this asset, and I just want to make here a stop, this asset in October is generating a traffic over 424,000 vehicles per day, something that 24,000 vehicles per day, which actually exceeds our forecasts when we started working on the project. And we need to say that even the airport traffic, more specifically international traffic, has not yet fully recovered. And this asset in particular has a vocation of observing, not just exclusively, but in a very important way, so that the traffic that goes from the airport. So in the moment that there's a full reestablishment of the flying operations in Jose Maria Cordoba Airport, you will probably see the higher use of the tunnel over the levels that we have today. In the airport traffic, besides that, September closed with levels, very positive levels. I want to mention the month of October, where the Bogota Airport, administrated by Opain, it reached 2.4 million passengers, 2.4 million passengers, and that's the total of September figure. It's the largest that we've had since the beginning of the pandemic, despite the fact that it's still a bit under September 2019. We're 29% under, but in an accelerated growing curve that has not stopped in terms of the traffic recovery. So we also need to bear in mind that part of the international traffic has not yet recovered, but domestic traffic, as we will be looking at further on, reaches a very similar levels to the ones that we had before the pandemic. So we see with great optimism this dynamic, not just about road traffic, but also airport traffic that have a tangible recovery. And this is also leveraged in a very conscious work in terms around efficiency, which allowed for the airport sector and the business sector in Grupo Argos would have a positive profits for this quarter, being the first period in recording a positive balance since the confinement measures began in March 2020. In this case, they have contributed close to 15 billion Colombian pesos to the Odense's quarter. So this is a very good recovery in terms of traffic, not just in road traffic, but also airport traffic, a very good positive contribution for Odense's results. And because of that, for the group in terms of airport assets, we also need to highlight, besides that, that during this period, we also signed the second Otrosi to allow the recognition through the time extension due to the effects of confinement measures and an agreement that's achieved between OPA and the different concessionaries. And the grantor that allowed an extension in the concession that it adds up to the first agreement that we had already signed. So we are reaching now two agreements with the grantor in order to extend the period. We're going to be a bit less than 24 months in each one of these extensions. That, of course, has a very important sense, economic value sense, that recovers and compensates the lived effects during 2020 and partially during the beginning of 2021. Now I want to invite you to go over the results of the real estate business on slide 12. I want to highlight good results in terms of the net cash flow, which increased up to tenfold, as you can see on that slide, compared to the same period last year, and close to four times of what had been accumulated in the previous year. In the quarter, we keep advancement in the execution of the works in Baru. As I mentioned before, we're close to inaugurate one of the main milestones in terms of development of that valuable real estate asset, and we keep working on urbanism development of Ciudad de Mallorquín in the city of Barranquilla. This is a project we just closed a lot that was missing for the first stage, leading to an increase of 133% in the sales revenues. EBITDA grew at 20%, including the appraisal effect that we saw in 2020. Partially the land loss of Ciudad Mallorquín. Meaning by this, the quarter allowed the materialization of the development and value generation of this very important asset that we'll be able to discuss later on, because we're just starting the development of an asset that in total, in this case, it has an area over 150, that exceeds 150 areas. And what we've started developing is just a small part of it. In Barranquilla and Santa Marta, we additionally signed three sale purchase promises, which ensures revenues for more than 44 billion Colombian pesos. In addition, we carried out a call in a second stage of Ciudad Mallorquín. And this comment that I mentioned before was about the first phase. So we have launched a second call. It's gratifying to say that in less than 1 year, of granting the first stage, we received more than 12 proposals of different constructors for 7 times the area that has been offered, which proves the viability of this project and the way that we could attract that raw material, which also will lead to shareholder value. In Baru, we signed, in addition, in Casablanca development, two purchase sale promises, one for a boutique hotel and another one for a Four Seasons hotel that will complement the Sofitel hotel that will be opening Casablanca, in Casablanca. So these two promises that we signed during the quarter mean revenues for more than 50 billion Colombian pesos. These two transactions prove, I would say, the effectiveness of the strategy of developing the Sofitel Casablanca hotel and having an ambitious planning and at the same time a very respectful planning around the history of social settlements, respecting the environment. And this also includes the totality of the development plan for more than 1,300 hectares, the usage of 350 of these as a native forest that will be preserved and used as part of that valuable asset in order to offer a first level development worldwide. So we are very, very enthusiastic and happy, because the truth of the matter is that these milestones, as the one that you'll be able to see since December, and enjoy of that natural beauty of Bardu Island, in addition to the signature of a purchase sale promise for a Four Seasons development, it materializes that thesis that we have around this important assets, and which is not just viable for Grupo Argos, but also for Colombia, which is consolidated as a first level development in terms of national and international tourism. So we've closed businesses up to this time of the year for more than 100 billion Colombian pesos. In terms of the real estate business that has been developed through Pactia, the effective gross revenue was 88 billion Colombian pesos, that grew 34% year after year. The EBITDA in the quarter reached 39 billion Colombian pesos with an increase of 33% year after year. Assets under this Pactia fund administration closed at 4.2 trillion Colombian pesos. They have a light reduction of 0.8% compared with the same period 2020. And this obeys fund strategy. We want to disinvest some of our non-strategic assets that had reached a maturity level, and we could materialize our value thesis properly. The total occupation of the portfolio for this third quarter was over 90%, which also gives a good signal of the strategies that have been developed in Pactia in order to overcome the pandemic effects and the confinement effects, and coming back to levels that are not just normal, but are also adequate for the use of different assets. I want to invite you to go over consolidated results on slide number 15, where we could see the aggregate effect in terms of our performance of our different businesses. Our revenues reached 4.1 trillion Colombian pesos, 11.9 trillion for this year accumulated value, which represents an increase of 14% compared with 2020 and of 2% compared with the same period 2019, when we eliminate the non-requiring operation effects that I'll be also mentioning, that are also present in the balances of previous years. This level of activity was translated into an EBITDA growth that closed 1.2 billion Colombian pesos and 3.4 excluding Colombian pesos for this year, which implies a pro forma growth or healthy pro forma growth of a 26% if you compare this with 2020 and a 4% compared with 2019. So I would dare to say that the pandemic effects and the lockdown effects have been covered, but we're going back to 2019, have been overcome, and we need to consider that there's some businesses, as I mentioned before, much broader growth potential, such as the airport business, that's just starting its positive cycle. Net profit increased even in a larger proportion, thanks to the good operational performance of the businesses. The financial expense reduction also allows to record a figure of 958 billion Colombian pesos for this year. On slide 16, I want to show you the quarter with revenues and EBITDA. We look at it graphically. Here in the airport session, with an additional contribution, 258 billion Colombian pesos, 252 billion Colombian pesos in EBITDA, leveraged with the road concession and the optimization and efficiency that have been developed inside Audiencia and their concessions. This allows us once again to evidence the operational leverage. For each increase of 100 basic points in the revenues, organization has a growth of 180 basic points in EBITDA, 1%. We reach 1.8% of EBITDA. And this is a capacity and a strength that the organization develops in a collective manner, thanks to the operational effort that have been synchronized from Grupo Argos in order to develop and maintain through time this leverage. Aligned with the consolidated expenses, we see a reduction of 11 billion Colombian pesos, which is equal to a 3% year after year. And nevertheless, when we eliminate the not requiring effects of 2020, the consolidated expense would be increased in just 1%. If there is an increase, a pro forma increase in the expense, the efficiency strategy is reflected when we compare this with the EBITDA that grew 302 billion Colombian pesos in the same period. This means for each 1 billion Colombian pesos in terms of expense, EBITDA grew 50 billion Colombian pesos. Now let's move on, and I want to show you slide number 18 in order to see and analyze the evolution, the indebtedness evolution. In this front, I want to highlight the amortizations that have been done and that we have been receiving for the last 12 months that reach a figure that's higher than 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos, achieving a reduction of 7% of the consolidated gross debt. So within this recovery situation, we're able to reduce 1.1 trillion Colombian pesos in terms of consolidated indebtedness. In terms of net debt, we closed the quarter with a balance of 16 trillion Colombian pesos. The largest part of the reduction is led by the material construction material business, Cementos Argos, thanks to the short-term strategy that the company has. We keep a very strict discipline in the control not just of invested capex, working capital, operational efficiency, cash flow, generated by the operations plus that generated by the disinvestments will deleverage the business in an important way. I also want to mention that last figure that we have in terms of that debt, is close to 3.1 times. So the level is very healthy in terms of indebtedness, product of the reform, with the reformation of the cash flow and the usage of those resources in order to reduce the leveraging of the company. I want to invite you to go over separated results as well as consolidated ones. This record pro form revenues compared with 2019. In the third quarter, they closed in 171 billion Colombian pesos, EBITDA in 136 billion Colombian pesos, a net profit in 112 billion Colombian pesos, which represents an increase of 141 billion Colombian pesos compared with a loss of 39 billion Colombian pesos in the third quarter 2020. So as the consolidated one, in the separate analysis, we see a very positive dynamic in terms of revenues, EBITDA, and net profit. Moving on to the cash flow, on slide 22, we could see the increase of net dividends compared with the previous period. Bearing in mind that Argos paid the totality of its dividend of the year in the month of April, and for the rest of the year, from here till the end of the year, we'll keep on receiving dividends, more specifically, but not exclusively, coming from Cementos Argos. In addition, I would like to also highlight the contribution of the development business, the urban development business, up to we have this year, represents contributions for 79 billion Colombian pesos, thanks to the good commercial dynamic that the business has following. Operational cash flow for the end of the year will keep on strengthening, as I mentioned before, the measure that we receive dividends without paying additional dividends or selling assets. So we hope keep on strengthening this position, this cash position, in a positive manner. The separated debt for the group closed this quarter in 1.6 trillion Colombian pesos, with the expiries or due to exclusively 89% of the credits after 2023, which grants us a large financial flexibility and allows closing this period with indebtedness indicators that are healthy, and I would say with the commitments and with the rating companies that we receive in terms of solidness, strength, in order to lead future projects. The cost of the debt closed to 6.2%, which represents an increase of 140 basic points compared with the closing rate of 2020. Obviously, this was driven by the inflation trends that we had during these quarters, but nevertheless, this growth is less than the inflation trend that during the same period contributed with 290 points, which confirm the successful strategy in terms of not just structures, currencies, diversifications, and costs of that indebtedness that has been organized by the company. Now I want to move on to sustainability front. So the sustainability front, and I just want to make this online comment and contributing to the discussions that have been happening around the conferences that we had recently in Glasgow, or the G26 meetings that we had in Glasgow, and how the different plans and initiatives and strategies and announcements fit with this purpose, with this global purpose. And from our business, from our cement business, we have publicly ratified our commitment of achieving in 2050 a neutral carbon production in concrete production. This has been, we're working with the Global Cement Association, Cement and Concrete Association, or known as GCCA, which will allow the reduction of specific emissions in the 29% to 2030 towards carbon neutral in 2050. These two goals are ambitious and are aligned perfectly with the objectives that we have led from Grupo Argos in March this year, but are a part of a general sustainability strategy of Grupo Argos and its businesses within our sincere commitment for adapting, mitigating, and compensating the environmental effects of our operations. From the energy business, we also want to highlight the gas thermal electrical project in El Tesorito that will become one of the first thermal electrical centrals that are carbon neutral within the country, thanks to a very ambitious and comprehensive reforestation project that will fully compensate the investments of this project. This is also aligned not just with carbon neutral, but with the ambition of being a positive, carbon positive in our energy business, given the transformation of the energy matrix, and that mainly today is constituted by hydraulic generation assets, which are sustainable, conventional, and the non-conventional ones, as wind sources and solar sources that I previously mentioned. So these are very two positive advancements in these businesses. And in concessions, we also want to highlight the announcement made publicly in reducing 68% of focuses 1 and 2, and 50% in scope 3, which have been in the value chain for 2030, which led for these goals to be approved by an initiative that you know, that's known as SZT, Science-Based Targets, and that positions Odinsa as as the first company, infrastructure company, in obtaining this very important validation. The commitment, the global commitment of Grupo Argos is reaching reductions of our reaches 1 and 2 in terms of greenhouse effects, CO2 or equivalent, in 46% in our specific emissions due to revenues, and 37% in our specific, in our absolute emissions for 2030. Equally, I would like to mention that as the result of an authentic commitment and the commitment and conviction of strengthening the communication with our different stakeholders, we wanted to share with you that we have made available for our shareholders and investors, market agents that are interested in this topic, a digital browser that's actually in our website that will allow you all, which have interest, a direct and simple access to the main environmental indicators, social indicators, corporate governance indicators for Grupo Argos under the Global Report Initiative and the merger of two initiatives, IRF and SASB, that's known as the Value Reporting Foundation. This two report frameworks are broadly used by global investors for measuring the advancements and challenges of leader corporations around the world in terms of sustainability. And we also want to announce and invite you to visit our sustainability teams. They're completely open for you to help you out with this tool, but it's a very dynamic and transparent tool that will be available for you all. So in that same train of thought, we have published a microsite for climate change with a route that we have defined in front of the mitigation, compensation, and adaptation processes, and more specifically, what has to do with the reduction of the equivalent of CO2. Finally, in this field, I want to share with you, last week, we received the results of the Sustainable Dow Jones Index, which consolidates this organization as a reference in each one of the industries that we participate. Grupo Argos and Cementos Argos are consolidated in the first and second place in global construction industry. Celsia came out as the most sustainable energy company in Colombia. And further than those recognitions, and further than being the leaders and being that 100 percentile with a higher with a percentage that's higher than 82%, 82 points, sorry. More than that recognition, I want to highlight that this is the product of a strategy, of a corporate philosophy that is based in a respectful acting, a proactive business acting in order to drive collective well-being as we see, as we do businesses in our different operations. Where we participate for more than 90 years. We are proud, truly, being part of a business group that's a reference in the world due to its economic value generation capacity, but also due to its strength and the capacity of leading positive transformations in society, in the environment, in which its operators have the main competitive advantage. We're completely convinced that today, businesses can just guarantee their future cash flows, and in such way, the economic value, respecting and working in a harmonious and coordinated manner with all its groups of interest. Meaning by this, to make this clear, the sustainability concepts just don't have individual value attending the different groups of interest, environment, society, or collaborators, or ventures. The way those businesses are led towards the future, that's the lever that allows us for growing projections and cash flow projections that we could afterwards discount financially in order to determine the present value of businesses is credible and can be carried out. Transactions that don't execute this under this plan will not probably just be questioned about the feasibility of those projected cash flows to be a reality, but will also have a deep effect with part of society. So for a close, the results of 2021 results, we have a goal in terms of results that we share with you in the previous quarter and that you could see on the screen, leveraging ourselves in the results that we have already achieved up to this third quarter, and in the strengthening of the operational leverage that has been translated as a larger generation of cash flow and EBITDA. I would like to close by sharing and reassuring the profound vision that we have around optimism and drive that our team has. It comes from those transformational advancements of the Grupo Argos strategy in terms of the performance and resiliency that our business has proven, in the commitment of more than 13,000 men and women in 18 countries where we have a presence, in the immense opportunities that we are identifying in this economic reactivation process in order to participate as relevant players in the infrastructure sectors where we have our investments. We also have the conviction over our responsibility as a referent business within the region to share good practices, this optimism vision, in order to develop businesses that generate value for the shareholders, for the investors, for the collaborators, for the value change, in order to construct and propose alternatives that lead to recover and strengthen the institutionality, the private sector, and keep on building prosperity in our country. Finally, and before moving on to our Q&A session, I want to make an explicit reference to the authorization request in order to go and go over an open operation for the Grupo Nutesa shares, given that Grupo Argos has a very important participation. As we saw or knew about just Wednesday last week, when some announcements were published by the financial superintendency. So I want to be clear on this. I think the information we have is only preliminary information. It's the same that has been known by the general public. We don't have any additional information. And it was shared through a relevant mechanism of the financial superintendency. Once we heard about this request, and due to information that was published in the Colombian Stock Exchange. Based on that, last Friday, the board came together and broadly discussed this information and agreed on hiring necessary advisors in order to lead a Prescott evaluation in not just the economic aspects or value aspects, projection aspects, but also legal aspects, also strategic alignment of an eventual offer if it really happens. That analysis will be done with all the care and with all required depth in order to evaluate effects over the company that this might have, but besides overall the groups of interest being coherent with a responsibility vision, and that will include strategic economic effects and the impact this might have in other groups of interest. As we have always done, this company following the transparency principles and good government, good corporate government, is focused in transforming the life of millions of people through our investments. I also want to share with you that the board decided to concentrate in me as the organization president, the lead for any public announcement that we might have in terms of this announcement. Today, we don't have more information than this. This is the reality. In the measure that we have more information, and we will act in a diligent manner in order to make a rigorous, in-depth analysis, not emotional, but rational. And we will inform, timely-wise, the market any relevant information through those established channels. So under that context, and asking your comprehension, I'd like to start the Q&A session, hopefully focused on what you consider, but mainly the financial results. Given that the confirmation of this process, but I obviously understand that has all types of comments and doubts that are natural, obviously, but the truth of the matter is that we need to be rigorous, we need to be careful, we need to be objective and very transparent in the way that we approach this and in the way, in the moment that we have a formal information. We will want to share you. Thank you for your time. We want to thank you for being with us. And let me give the word to Natalia so she can open space for Q&A. Thank you, Jorge. Just wanted to remind you all that we have a channel for asking questions. That's the Q&A button you can see on your screens. That's enabled in the platform. Besides that, we will be sending via chat a link. We ask us just to answer a survey. It's a very short survey just for you to give us a perception of the results and of the company. That's very valuable for this team. We'll start with Juliana Aguilar. She says, "Good morning to you all. I have a question about airport concession business. Given that pandemic changed the way of working and companies saw the opportunity works pretty well, if you hope of El Dorado traffic will come back to 100% pre-COVID, or do you believe that part of the passengers was lost?" A very good question from the following optics. Our vision is not very different from the vision that different international analysts have. You might have access, specialized consultants, and many others. But look not just at the airport concession or the airport industry, but everything of the airport logistics and tourism. And there's two great trends that seem a common denominator in all the global analysis. First of all, the pandemic brought and will consolidate a larger propension of human beings to dedicate spaces, resources in an incremental manner over what was done previously from the pandemic around tourism, recreation, family contact, exploration, not just topics related with traditional vacations, but also experiences around the world. Human beings, generally speaking, we will be investing more money and more time of our lives in those types of displacements. This is the first thing. This is the first time. And so this will generate a growth, and this is leading to an accelerated growth and higher than the projection curve that we had during pre-COVID, that we had for tourism passengers, recreational passengers, family visits, these types of things. Second element is that it seems also a consensus, and this might be, there might be differences here, that is that virtuality who have a hybrid effect in the business development long term. Some meetings, the types of conversations will probably be replaced for virtuality. But there's also a consensus around the fact that in terms of sustainable growth, assimilating better practices, the presence, face-to-face time will always be there anyway. So in order to surround this, we have two great trends, an accelerated growth one in terms of tourism and displacement, not and a mixed one with businesses. It's also worth to mention that our calculations is that under the combination of both, we will have a growth that's higher of what we had before. Obviously, I'll give the word to Mauricio Osa that's with us for him to complement this vision with the data that is being generated through our ads consolidation. Mauricio. Well, thank you, Jorge Mario. Good morning to you all. Julania, thank you for your question. In addition to what had been previously mentioned by Jorge in terms of the trends or mega trends that are being consolidated and by which there's a consensus, the answer, the concrete answer is if there's going to be a recovery according to those 100% forecasts in terms of passengers, that recovery it will happen in the short term. We estimate that we should be reaching either for the end of the end of 2022, both for national as international passengers. And proof of this, and just to give numbers, since November, but this is happening consistently every single day, that the recovery of passengers, volume of passengers in domestic flights is over a 90%, and international flights with some destinations that have constraints, but besides this, There has been a growth of 40% between October and November in terms of recovery. We're estimating that we end 2021 with close to 90% of national passengers being recovered and figures close to 75 to 80% of the international ones. If this really happens, if this happens, knowing that December and January are the most with the most activity, if this is confirmed, we would be reaching before 2022 100% of the traffic that we had in 2019. Thank you. Rodrigo Sanchez has also questions related with Odensa. He's asking if the closing expectations, if the transaction with Macquarie will keep on for first quarter 2022, considering the call that would might be done. Mauricio, if we follow this, maybe you could speak about the authorizations, not just in terms of financial results, but also grantors in terms of the authorities of each one of the fronts. Well, thank you, Rodrigo. And this on the schedule that we had established with the advisor group and with Macquarie, we had contemplated that in the case, in this case, we'll go the third round. So this is not a surprise within the estimation that we have. The estimation that we have, so we want to close around September next year, as you ask. In terms of the rest of the activities that we need to develop, as Jorge Mario mentions, financial super industry, authorizations of ANI, the authorizations of the different organisms, each one of the concessions to approve and for us to make the movement. This is complying with the schedule. It has been without no delays. We are complying the flow of activities that we have proposed. Until the moment we don't see something that doesn't have to do with paperwork or the thermal time that paperwork takes for us to be ready at the end of February 2022. And for the details in terms of structural costs for the airports, Stefania Mosquera was asking if we have had changes because there's a notable increase in keyboard EBITDA margin, so she wanted to know what happened there. Well, the structural costs, you might remember that when in airports, we need to make this close very fast, they're frozen in the measure if possible of the costs that we might have, understanding that, say, we have a part that's fixed costs. But in terms of the recovery, in terms of Keyport, the accelerated recovery, that's a very important volume for that airport. When it starts happening, we need to enable expenses. So the increase is not just in terms of the unit, but it's also a variable cost, a product of attending more flights or the growing effort that we have to do in order to process the number of passengers that's being led in each one of the airports. For example, we'll be re-announcing the reopening of Puente Aéreo the 6th of December for the peak season, given that the current passengers processed in El Dorado is higher than 95,000. And we need that area as we operate in the past. This is an area that was closed. Now it's going to be open, and opening will imply a series of costs that we didn't see before, and we see when there's year after year comparison. And there's an effect, sorry, Mauricio, as you say, and as Stefania mentions, of positive leveraging. So despite the reactivation of this type of expenses, the effect and the increase is higher, so there's a positive marginal EBITDA, not just in the case of the airport, but also in concessions in terms of the flows that we mentioned in the call. That is right. Questions about the operations and results, we don't have any more. Questions that we have received are more focused on the transaction that I believe Jorge, well, you already gave an answer before starting this Q&A, but nevertheless, I don't want for you to feel as if you're not being bear in mind. Rodrigo Sanchez, José Castro, and Andrea Guardiola. So, bringing all these questions asking about the Nutresa transaction. Well, in effect, if there's a sales decision, or how would the governance or would work, but nevertheless, I'll just give the word to you so you could drill in a bit more on this. Think it's okay with all rationality and with all clarity. I need to reinforce what I said earlier. The truth of the matter is that we got to know about this request last week. There's nothing approved yet. There's a request that we just know about some pieces as the general public knows. Now, this is operation that will be looked at with all the detail and with all the rigorosity and it will be looked at in a cross-cutting manner. This is another thing that I wanted to say. Not just from a value point of view, but we'll have to look at this not to understand the value, but from the other objects and points of view, from a cross-cutting view of multiple groups of interest and the impact it has over different groups of interest. Taking a position on this wouldn't be just right, but it also would be responsible without going over the adequate analysis. I just want to reinforce and something that is independent from the transaction is important, that is that investment in Nutresa has been a source of flexibility and of strength compared with the operational business that Grupo Argos has had on the adverse cycles that we have gone through the history of this organization, and it has special value. I guess the materialization of this would be seen in 2020 with COVID. The nature of the sectors where we have investments such as Nutresa, region diversity, segment diversity, allow a cycle and dampening that have a very important value in a determined moment in order for the businesses. When we can keep predictable cash flows, the stable cash flows through time. It's a profitable investment, most definitely. When you look at the PSR, investment PSR, that Grupo Argos has 20 years and long periods. And besides that, we share with Grupo Nutresa a very important view in terms of business construction from the integrality and from the value generation for different groups of interest. As I mentioned before in the conference, this is not a conceptual principle, it's a very important variable to enable the credibility of the cash flows towards the future. And it has to do with the vision of this organization that has been developed for 90 years of impacting positively different groups of interest, vendors, employees, in order for us to create shared value with all our groups of interest. So those principles that we have kept and maintained for decades are important to evaluate. These are also very deep. These are analyses that go through the financial aspect, through the strategic aspect, the impacts and multidimensional impacts, and that will have and will be considered with all the rigorosity, with all the care, and that don't allow us to make additional comments, because this is what we're going to do, and the measure that we do, so we'll share this publicly. Well, thank you, Jorge. This is the end of the questions. Just to remind you all, if you could share, if you could help us with that survey that you have on the chat, thank you for your participation. Thank you all. Thank you all, and good day for you all.